Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Hey. We left off on daf Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis at the very last line. Safek for androgynous. Today we're going to present several cases of Safek Chiyu for a Bris Mila and discuss whether such a Bris should be Docha Shabbos when it's an issue of Safek. We're going to have a lot of different examples of different types of Sfekos and drushes from Sukkim. Some of them may be Docha Shabbos, some of them may not be Docha Shabbos. Gemara is going to give two interpretations of Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to when we require Hatafas Dam Bris from the baby in lieu of a normal mila, and when Hatavas Dam Bris is not required. The Gemara then discusses when the Bris must be done on the eighth day, and when it could be done even earlier, and connects this to the issue of when a mila may be done on Shabbos. In this context, the Gemara is going to give an elaborate discussion of the requirement of giving a Bris to a child of a Shivcha, and under which circumstances a Bris would have to wait until the eighth day, even on the child of a Shivcha. So essentially, we're going to discuss Mila Safek and Hatavas Dam Bris. Those are the two major topics in today's daf. So we are holding, again, last line, Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Safek v'androgynous. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabban, we have a braisa. Arla so. We darshan from the word arla so in the pasuk, that arla so vaday doches ha-shabbos, v'lo safek doches ha-shabbos. Only when you have an arel vaday are we doches ha-shabbos for the bris mila, but if it's safek arla, then one is not doches ha-shabbos for the bris mila. Says Tosos on the top, Nir Lari di Asmachta Bialnahu. This has to just be an Asmachta, this can't be an actual drasha, because v'lo isur kralahachi, dehechi teska daite lechalas Shabbos. You can't need a pasuk to tell me that a suffek is not Docha Shabbos. Why in the world would I think that a suffek is Docha Shabbos? V'lo yadanim hu barchiyuv mila olokin, mefarish lekaman, the suffek no lezayin no leches. The Gemara is going to explain later on, we didn't yet explain what the word suffik over here means. We just said that suffik is not Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to explain later on, suffik means that you're not sure if the baby was born in the 7th or 8th month of pregnancy. And ironically, the assumption that Chazal always had was that if it was born in the 7th month of pregnancy, then it's a viable fetus and he can actually survive, he's actually going to live. If he was born in the 8th month of pregnancy, he's not going to be Bar Kayama, the baby's not going to make it no matter what you do. So there's no point in giving him a Bris Mila. So if it's a Suffolk ben Zion, Suffolk ben Ches, you're not sure, that's the case of Suffolk. So we don't know if he's chayiv in a Bris Mila. Umishum nolad ben Hashmashos, lo etzrich na mikra. And you also wouldn't need a pasuk for a baby born ben Hashmashos, where you don't know if his Mila b'zmana is Shabbos or not. Demutav titibatal mitzvahs Mila b'shmini misfeko b'shevi altase, v'ali chal Shabbos b'yadayim misafek. Says Tosos, I would have known on my own that if I'm not sure of whether I should give the baby a Bris Mila on Shabbos or not, don't be Mechal Shabbos. B'shevi al taseh. Sit and do nothing. Don't be Mechal Shabbos. Rather than being Mechal Shabbos on the off chance, on the suffix, that maybe the baby has a chi of Mila. The Ma'arit, some Sofer points out that the Ma'arit points out that this Tosos clearly argues on the Shitas HaRambam. There is a machlokas Rambam in the Rashba when we say Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, right? We know Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, Safik Darabanan L'Kula. Is that itself a Din Daraisa, or is that itself only a Din Darabanan? When we say Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, the Rambam holds Safik Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din Daraisa. So if you hold Safik Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din Daraisa, so you have a Safik Chiv Mila Daraisa on this baby, one could say, yeah, I see a Hava Amina that I would do it on Shabbos, because Mi Daraisa, I have a chiv mila. It's only misafik, but misafik, the chiv would be midar raisa. Tosos assumes, no, there's no havamina. How would you ever think that misafik you'd be able to be mal the baby? But what do you mean? Tosos must be assuming that safik dar raisa l'chumra is itself only din drabanan. So midar raisa, you have no chiv whatsoever to be mal the baby. That's what Pnei Yeshua points out in Maseches Gittin, that when we say that svek sveka is l'kula, Pnei Yeshua says, according to the Rashba, that makes perfect sense. Because if you hold Safik da'oraisa l'chumra is only a din d'rabanan, then when you have a svek sveka, what you have is a safek d'rabanan, because it's a safek on the din of safek da'oraisa l'chumra, which turns into itself being just a standard safek d'rabanan, which would then be l'kula. The Rambam would have to have a different explanation of svek sveka, that it works midin rov. Okay, different explanations. But anyway, that's the ha'ara of Tosos over here, that this has to be an asmachta, because there, otherwise what's the havamina? According to the Rambam, maybe he would say this is not an asmachta, because we understand very well what the havamina would be. So that's drasha number one, that arla so, to be motzi, a case of suffix. Arla so, in the second drasha, Arlo Sovadei Doches HaShabbos Velo Androgynous Doches HaShabbos. Arlo Sovadei is Doches HaShabbos also not an androgynous. An androgynous is not Doches HaShabbos. Mila for an androgynous is not Doches HaShabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, androgynous Doches HaShabbos Velanush Kares. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees about the androgynous part. He says that Mila's androgynous is Doches HaShabbos. One gets Kares for failing to do Mila if he's an androgynous. Good, so there are two drushes from the word Arlaso, Machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, what the two drushes are. Now the Tosos points out, Viter in that same Tosos, he says, it can't be that both drushes come from the same word Arlaso, because we would only make two drushes from the same word when one drush is not more compelling than the other. Then you would say, Shkulim, okay, we have two drushes to make, and we don't know which one is more compelling to make than the other, so we can make both from the same word. It says Tosos over here, Lo Michadar Alason Nafki, Dein Svara Lomar Shkulim Vyavo Shneim. We can't just say they're Shkulim, we might as well learn both of them. El Trey Kroik Sivi, Chad Bemila Bizmano, Biamashmini Yimel Besar Alaso, Vechad Bemila Shlo Bizmano, the Gadol Va'aro Zachar, Asholi Yimel Besar Alaso. That you have one by Mila Bizmana, one by Mila Shlo Bizmana. So there are two separate psukim that you use the word Arlaso. Inami says Tosos Kra Asala Androgynous Vinolik Shumal Misvara Yadinan Dein Sarklad of Dambris. This is actually going a little later on the Brisa's elaboration of the multiple things we learn from Arlaso. So let's see Vayter in the Gemara. Arlaso Vade Doches Shabbos Velo Nolad Ben Ashmashos Doches Shabbos. Arlaso when it's a vaday chiyuv is Doches Shabbos, but not if the baby is born ben hashmashos. Baby's born ben hashmashos, you don't know when the chiyuv mila is, if it was on Friday or if it was on Shabbos. So what do? We can't do the bris mila on Friday because that might be a day early. We can't do it on Shabbos because suffix is not going to be Doches Shabbos. So we do the bris mila on Sunday. Arlos of vaday Doches Shabbos velo nolad kshumol Doches Shabbos. Arlos of vaday is Doches Shabbos, not nolad kshumol. If you look at the top Rashi points out that when we first made that drasha, according to the Tanakhama, to be motzi androgynous, Rashi points out that these are all cases of suffik. Suffik who? Androgynous is a case of suffik. Vinol ben Ashmashos. Nami suffik zmano, who suffik enos mano. Anol ben Ashmashos is a case of suffik. Vichinol and mahul, suffik shema arla kvushihi. A baby that's born with a bris mila is a suffik. Whether there's an arla there, it's just kavush, we just can't see it. Ha'or davik bibasar. Ul kame parich, suffik kamala suyemai. Hol v'tami kalani sveke. So the Gemara is obviously going to ask, then what does the word suffik mean? If all of these cases are already covered, and all of these cases are just examples of sfeikos, what's the separate drasha about suffik? So says Marsha Bishami, Om Tsarach Lativ Men Adam Bris, Bishil Omrim Eino Tsarach. When it comes to a Nolak Shumol, a baby that's born with a Bris Mila, there's Machloks Bisham Bishilal whether we need to do Hatafas Dam Bris. Bishami says yes, because we're Choshesh that there's Arla Kvusha, and Bishilal says not necessary to do Hatafas Dam Bris on a baby that's born kshumol. So that's the Tanakhama's presentation of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. A baby that's born with a bris mila, according to Beis Shammai, needs a tavas damris. According to Beis Hillel, does not. So I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees with the presentation of the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. He says no. Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al nolad kshumol shetzarich la'ativ menu damris. There's no machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. If a baby is born with a bris mila, certainly you need to do a tavas damris. You need to draw blood. Mipnei sha'ar lakvusha, because we definitely assume that it's arla kvusha, that there's an arla in there, and we need to therefore draw blood in order to perform a mila. Al man nechluku, the whole machlokas is al gershin is gayer kshumahul. What about when a person converts and he already has a mila? Shebeishamay omrim tzarich la'ativ menu dambris, ubeisil omrim ein tzarich la'ativ dambris. That's the machlokas where Beishamay says that you need to do atav dambris as part of the conversion process, because the conversion involves mila, tvila, and kabbalas mitzvot, so you need to do the mila. How do you do mila on someone who has mila? You do atav dambris. And Beisil says, no, we don't require atav dambris on a gershin is gayer. Now, interestingly, Tosus points out out that which is more likely to require a tafas dambris, a case of a nolad kshumal or a case of a gershin as gayer. So Tos points out, hashta mashma, the implication of our Gemara is di yoser yesh lahatzrich hatafa linolad kshumal milin as gayer kshumal, that we are more likely to require a tafas dambris on a baby that's born with a mila than we are on a ger who's megayer with a mila. How does Tosfos get that? Because according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, everyone agrees nolad kshumol needs a tafas dambris. Machlokes whether gershin eskayer needs a tafas dambris. So obviously nolad kshumol, there's more svara to say. There's more reason to say that that nolad kshumol is going to need a tafas dambris. Here's the problem. Later on in the Gemara, Rav is going to paskin like the Tanakama's presentation of the Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel, which means that a Nolak Shumol does not require a Tavas Dam Bris, because according to the Tanakama's presentation of the Machlokes, they were arguing about a case of Nolak Shumol. From the fact that the Gemara is going to say later on that Rav Ad Bar Ava feels like he got punished because he didn't follow Rav. So we know that Rav holds like the Tanakama's version. V'kivin t'kaimelon k'tanakama b'nol k'shumol she'in zarek lativ menu dambris. So if that's how we paskin, that a baby born with a mila does not need a tavas dambris, should be a kal v'chomer that a gershin is gayer kshumol should not need a tavas dambris. Once we establish that it's more mistaver to require it by a nolad kshumol than it is by a gershin is gayer, so if we don't require it by a nolad kshumol, we definitely aren't going to require it by a gershin is gayer. V'alachos gedolos l'paskukin. But the problem is, halachos gedolos doesn't paskin that way. El pasku de katan ein sarich the gerd sarich. A paskin in the reverse, that a katan does not require a tafas dambris, meaning a child born with a mila does not, but a gerd does. Ube katan vaday kedin pasku kishmo senu, and they're definitely right about the katan, that the katan does not need, because we said that we paskin like the first version of machloks besham besilal, which means that we paskin like besilal in the first version that a nolak shumol does not require. But what about ger? How could they paskin wrong about ger, that a ger does require a tavas dambris? Ubeger nami nira larisha samcho ahidi yavamas. They base themselves on the sugya in Meseches Yavamas, the Perka Cholitz, the Tanya Reish, above Amr, Malti Pilo Tavalti, Madbilin Oso, Umabakakhtav Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Yosyomer, Ein Madbilin, Vimtim Slomer, Dain Sarklativ Menu Dambris, Beneskarik Shumol, Rabbi Yosy, Amai Ein Madbilin, Hareu Mol, Lefanenu. Why would Rabbi Yosy say that we wouldn't be Matbil him if he's Mol? So we have no issue. We know that he had a Mila. So obviously we're assuming that we do require a Tavas Dambris. The question then is, what's the Svara? So at the end, Tosos gives the Svara. V'nir l'rashba l'asis tam b'davar shari ha-svara ha-fucha mi-svara d'shmaitin. The Svara is the opposite of the Svara of our Sugya. V'ayinu taima, d'bein katan shanola k'shumol, u'bein gershin eskair k'shumol, logically, I would have said they both need a tafas dambris. You need to do a maisa of mila on a baby. You need to do it, and even if he's born with a mila, but that may help that he's not an RL, but you definitely need to do a maisa mitzvah of mila. And by a gershin eskayer, it's part of the conversion process. But we have a special drush over here to tell me that a katan doesn't require a tafas dambris from our laso. So where do I have that pasuk? Dafka by a katan. V'dafka b'katan, the gully gully, beger the low gully, low gully. Only where I have a drush at a top. Meaning, Tosfos, what Rashba does is he says, what's the default position? What would we have assumed had we known nothing and the pasuk not told us anything? So he said, natural assumption definitely would have been, of course you do a tafas dambris. So now I could say, but we have a pasuk to tell me that a nolak shumol doesn't get a tafas dambris. Ah, no pasuk to tell me about Regesh and his guide that he doesn't get a tafas dambris. And that's why the Alachos Gedolos paskins like he does. Now the idea Rashi points out that we do a tafas dambris is because we're afraid that Shema Orla Kvushahi, and that's the concept. The Mishkanus Yaakov in Yardeya Sumasamach Gimel points out that from the Rambam in Ilchus Trumos, it seems that it's not really about Orla Kvusha, that the person is a Suffolk Orel, and that's why we do a Tavas Dambris, because the Rambam writes that a Nolan Mohul is Mutter Ti'i Truma.
What does that mean? Nol nol mitzvah truma, meaning we're not worried that he's an arel. So if we were concerned of arla kvusha, we shouldn't allow him to eat truma misafik. Apparently, the meaning one could argue two possible reasons why you need to do atafas dam bris on a why one would hold you need to do atafas dam bris on a nol kshumal. You could argue, well, he's an arel. Of course, you need to do atafas dam bris. There might be an arla there under the skin that just didn't come out yet. Or you could say, no, he's not an Orel, but you need to do Maisa Mitzvah of Mila. As we've pointed out in the past, there are three separate inyanim in the Mitzvah of Mila. The Ragachav writes in the Tshuva, three separate inyanim. There's a Mitzvah to do a Maisa Mitzvah of Mila. There's a Mitzvah of doing a Bris Mila, that's one. Second is, there's a Mitzvah Lihios Mahul, to have a Bris Mila, to be Mahul. And then there's Lo Lihios Orel, not to be an Orel, an Isser to be an Orel. We're going to see lots of potential nafkaminas that come up in today's daf. Hatafas dam bris would be one such nafkamina. If you're worried about arla kavusha, so then you're worried about the isser of being an arel. But if you're not worried about arla kavusha, what in the world would the svara be to do hatafas dam bris? Oh, because there's a maisa mitzvah you got to do of mila, so we have to do that maisa mitzvah. Okay. And Leo's Mal relates to David HaMelech, the sugi with David HaMelech, that when he found himself in the bathhouse and he saw that he had his Mila, so he realized that he was surrounded by mitzvah. So apparently there's a kiyum mitzvah every moment that a person is mahul. Not only a maisa, it's not only a din in the maisa at the time of the Mila. So let's see the Gemara Vayter now. We're at the two dots. Amar Mar, v'lo safik dochas haShabbos lasuye mai. So we said v'lo safik dochas haShabbos. What case is that coming to talk about? We already give so many examples of safik. So says Gemara lasuye hadatan rabbanon. It's coming to teach me the case in the Brisa. Ben shiva mechalin alavas haShabbos uben ches ein mechalin alavas haShabbos. If you have a baby born in the seventh month of pregnancy, you could be mechal Shabbos for the bris mila of such a baby. But a baby born in the eighth month of pregnancy is considered like he's dead already, and therefore his mila is not really a mitzvah, so you can't be mechal Shabbos for his mila. Safik ben Zayin, Safik ben Ches, ain mechal in Alavas Shabbos. If you're not sure if he was born in the seventh or eighth month of pregnancy, then the halacha is we're not mechal Shabbos for his bris mila. Ben Shmona Hareu Ke'even Va'asa L'Taltalo. Once we're talking about a baby born in the eighth month and how it's considered like he's dead already, so if the halacha is that he's like an Even, it's Asa L'Taltalo, he's Muktza, Aval Imo Shocha Minikasa Mipnei HaSakana. But the mother is allowed to nurse the baby because of Sakana. Says Rashi and Tosos over here, Sakana for who? What Sakana? The baby's dead already anyway. Who's Sakana? So Rashi and Tosos point out, Sakana meaning he's as good as dead. We count him as dead. So what kind of sakana? So it says also sakanas chalav kshish harbe bedadin v'lo cheshin hashem etetal talosso. That both Rashi and Tos point out the sakana is for the mother. That the mother is going to have too much milk accumulate, and that's going to be a sakana for her. But fractals lo yada Rashi my iriyam nea sakana. That feel lo yehel at sarah bialma mutter. I feel hilach lavatsma lahutzi chalav shabedadin afal bishim milach shen srich lugufa to chamri sura tfei meyisur tiltol near the shari midid aviam apes morsed. He says, we have a rule that Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is mutter b'makom tzar. If a person has a pimple and they want to pop the pimple, not to violate the Melach of Bona and make an opening, but rather just L'Hotzi Men Aleicha because it's painful, so the halacha is, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Ksuvos that it's Pater, and that's one of the rare cases where Pater actually means mutter, that you're allowed to do it b'makom tzar. One is allowed to do Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So why would you have to say that mipnei sakana, forget sakana, it's annoying, it's painful for the woman, so that alone should be enough. Tosfos leaves it as a kasha. Why would we have to say mishum sakana in that case? The Ritva writes dafka sakanas imo, sakanas vlad, it would not be shayach ovir because the baby is like an evan, like we said before. However, Rashi and the Rashbam in Psachim and Dafkuf Yud Beis seem to assume that the sakana that we're talking about is not a sakana for the mother, it's a sakana for the baby. Rabbeinu Gershom Maseches Basra Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, sakana shelo yomus havlad kodem zmano, that even though he's good as dead and you know he has zero chance of survival, it's still called a sakana because you can keep him alive for a little bit longer if you feed him. So that's the sakana for the vlad, not for the baby. Rashi in Yevamos Daf Peim Beis says sakana is shnehen haben v'ha'im. So over here he says the mother, in Psachim he says the baby, and in Yevamos he says both sakana for the baby and the mother, that you don't want too much chalav bedadin, and also the baby would die too young. So the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas in Eben Ezra Chelbeis in the Samach Tes, he writes, he explains that Rashi, why does Rashi say both? Because if it was only a sakana for the mother, why does she have to nurse this baby? Find another baby to nurse. All she has to do is really expel the milk. You don't need to nurse the baby. Pump and it will be just fine, or to come up with something. And if it's only an issue for the child, why does it say imo shocha alav? Any woman can be shocha alav, even another woman. So it must be that it's a heter because of the two of them. It's a kind of for the two of them, so it's a good shidduch. We can use the mother and the baby together so that they could both take care of both sakanas at one time. Now the sakana sa'im, that she has a lot of chalav, so we pointed out Tosfos Kasha, why don't we just say that that it's just like Mapas Mursa? So in Shor Mitzvah and Balacha, to answer Tosfos Kasha, says Eino Chinami. That's why Rashi says Umevili de Choli, and he doesn't say Umevili de Sakana. The Gemara uses a lashon of Sakana, but it doesn't really mean Sakana. Maybe it just means that it's just an expression, but just means Choli the way Rashi understands it, rather than real Sakana. Vaita in the Gemara, Itmar. How do we pass? We just had two presentations of the Machlokas Beisham and Beisilel. First presentation is Beisham and Beisilel argue in the case of a nolet kshu mahul, baby that's born with a mila, where Beisilel says even then you don't need a tafas dambris. Second presentation of the Machlokas is, of course, a nolet kshu mahul needs a tafas dambris. It's where does Beisilel say you don't need a tafas dambris? By Gershon is Gayer, kshu mahul. See, Itmar, Rav Amar Lach Ketanakama, Rav passes like Ketanakama, that a baby born with a mila does not need a tafas dambris. Shmuel Amar Alach Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Shmuel says Alach like Reb Shimon ben Elazar that a baby born with a mila does need a tafas dambris. Only Gershon is Geyer does not need a tafas dambris. Ravad Barava is Yaldehu Yenuka Kshumal. Ravad Barava had a baby that was born with a bris mila. Ahadre Atleis Ramaldi Adeshavi Kros Shivcha. And he brought the baby to 13 different Maalim to see if they would mal the baby. None of them would do it. None of them were interested in being matif dambris from the baby because it was Shabbos, and they didn't want to be Mechal Shabbos, so he was going around shul to shul to find all the different molim. None of them wanted to do it, and he did it himself, and the problem was he couldn't, and he mutilated his baby by trying to do the Mila himself. This is one of those things, if you're not trained, don't try this at home. Not supposed to, but he made the baby cross Shivcha. So what did he say? Amar tasteli da avriya de Rav. I deserve what I got because I violated what Rav said. Rav holds didn't require a tafas dambris, and here I went ahead and I did it, so that's why I was punished by having my baby become cross Shivcha. Now, why didn't he say, more logical reason to say why it happened was that I'm not a trained moel and I did a mila on the baby. Why does he assume it's because he violated? It's very religious of him to say that it's because he violated Rav, but maybe if he wasn't trained as a moel, maybe that would be the reason. So at first I couldn't find anything on this, but then I saw that Shor Mitzvah Balalach quotes from the Trumas Hadashen, that he brings a riot from here that an Aviyah Ben should not be mal his own kid on Shabbos, because he says, how does he know that this was an onesh? Maybe it's just because he wasn't good. He didn't know how to do a bris mila. So he says, and if he did know how to do a bris mila, why didn't he just do it himself in the first place? So he says, it must be, even if you do know how to do a bris mila, he must have known, otherwise he wouldn't have attributed this to some of the punishment. It must be that he was a moel. But the halacha is, it must be, says the Trumas Hadashen, that if there's another moel, a father shouldn't do the mila for his own child on Shabbos. That's his raya from our Gemara. And then he's docha the raya, that maybe he looked for someone else, because maybe this is one of those things where he didn't want to actively himself go against Rav. He held Rav was wrong, but we just had recently that lo avarti al divrei chaverei. I don't want to be over al divrei chaverei. So he didn't want to do it directly to be over al divrei chaverei. Maybe that's why he was looking for another moel. Inami dinolan moel tzoruch umnus yisera. The iunami have a moel of a love of baki baflaga kulehai. Or maybe he was a moel, but he never did a mila on a baby who was nolan moel. And that, for an Arla Kvusha, that takes a lot more expertise. And maybe he didn't have that level of expertise. The Tshuvas Beis Ephraim brings a raya from here to the Shita of the Tvor Shar, that a father is that a father who's a Moel is permitted to be Mechabit someone else who's allowed to do the Bris Mila. Not so partial that that's permitted. That's a discussion in the Shach, that if it's a father's Chiyuv, who says that he's allowed to go and be Mechabit somebody else to do the Bris Mila, presuming that he knows how to do it himself. Tvor Shar says you are allowed to do it, and you see that this, like from this case, Rav Adi Barava must have been an expert Moel, and still he was looking for other people to do it. Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, "Vad Shmuel lo avar." What, you think you only violated Rav? You don't think you violated Shmuel? Ema damer Shmuel b'chol b'shabbos miyamar. When does Shmuel say that you do a tafas dam bris on an olk shumal on a weekday? On Shabbos, he would never tell you to do a tafas dam bris. So who savar vade arla kvushehi? But Rav Adi Barava held that no, that it's definitely arla kvusha. I mean, it's not a suffix whether it's arla kvusha or just that there's no arla. It's definitely arla kvusha, and therefore there's a legitimate chiyuv. De itmar Rabba amar chayshin and shamar arla kvushehi. Rav Yosef amar vadei arla kvushehi. It's a machlokas amorayim when a baby is born with a mila. Is it an issue that we think it might have arla kvusha? There might be arla hidden in there somewhere, or that we know for sure there's arla kvusha? I'm Rav Yosef. Mina Aminullah. So Rav Yosef says, how do I know that it's Vaday or Lakvusha? Titania Rabbi Lazar Kapar Omer, Lo Nechluku Besham Besil al Nol Kshumol Shatzarach Latif Menudam Bris. That Besham Besil both agree, if a baby is born with the Bris Mila, like the second version of Besham Besil, that you do have to do Atafas Dam Bris. Alma Nechluku, but over here is where it veers from the second version of the Machlokas that we had before. What's the Machlokas about? So before we had the Machlokas about Gershon is Gayer. So the way he has it is Alma Nechluku. The whole machlokas is: are you mechal Shabbos to do a tafas dam bris? Veshamir om mechal nolavas Shabbos. Beisil omrim ain mechal nolavas Shabbos. Veshamir says you are. Beisil says we're not mechal Shabbos. So lav mechal tanakama sovr mechal nolavas Shabbos. Doesn't that imply that the tanakama holds before this Rabbi Lazar HaKapar came along? Tanakama held that everybody would agree that not only do you do a tafas dam bris, but you do it even on Shabbos. So that's how I know that it's Vaday or Lekvusha, because according to the Tanakhama, you're even Mechalel Shabbos for Atavas Dambris. So it says in Marnav, Vidilma Tanakhama, Divrei HaKol Ein Mechalel in Kamar. All he knows that Rabbi Elazar HaKapar was Mechadesh, that there's a Machlokas whether we're Mechalel Shabbos or not Mechalel Shabbos for Atavas Dambris on an Olk Shumal. That's what he taught us, that there's a Machlokas. We know that, therefore, we could be Medayik, Tanakhama holds there's no Machlokas. But we don't know which way the Tanakhama holds, so we assume that first, oh, Tanakhama must hold there's no Machlokas, and of course you do Atavas Dam Bris. Says Gemara, no. Maybe Tanakhama holds there's no Machlokas, and of course you don't do Atavas Dam Bris. Same came, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, time of the Veshamay Yosel Hashminan. No, if that were the case, then what would Rabbi Elazar HaKapar be coming to teach me? He's coming to teach me a Chiddush in Veshamay, meaning if the Tanakhama held that Beisil and Veshamay both agree that you don't do a Tafas Dam Bris, then Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is saying, no, not so fast, Veshamay holds you do a Tafas Dam Bris. La halacha, you're saying the same thing, because we don't pass on Beis Shammai anyway. All he's teaching me is something in Beis Shammai. But if the Tanakhama held that according to both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that we do Hatavas Dam Bris, and then he's coming to teach me, no! Beis Shammai holds you do Hatavas Dam Bris, Beis Hillel holds you don't! So then he's teaching me something in halacha. So it's much more logical to assume that Rav Elazar HaKapar is teaching me something in halacha, and that according to the Tanakhama, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that we do Hatavas Dam Bris. So that's the raya for Rav Yosef that it's Orla Vadai. Says Gemara, no, Dilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe what Rav Elazar HaKapar is telling me is, Lo Nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel B'davar Zeh. That there is no machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, meaning that he holds that it's that he's just coming to teach me that there is no machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel on this matter, but he's not coming to teach me a halacha. He's just telling me that it's not a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Kol she'imo tamei leida nima l'shmona. The rule is that any time the mother is going to have tumas leida, the baby needs to have a bris on the eighth day. V'kol she'imo tamei leida ein nima l'shmona. And any time the baby is not going to have a bris on, any time the mother is not tumas leida, the baby is not going to require a bris on the eighth day. Shenemar, because we dash from the pasuk. Ishak, he says Ria v'yelda zachar utmei. The pasuk tells us in Parsha says Ria that when a woman gives birth, she's going to have tumas leida, and then right then it goes on and says ubayom hashmini yibol b'sar la. So the very next pasuk says, and on the eighth day we do a bris milah. So we see that the two are connected to each other from the fact that they're juxtaposed with each other. We see that when does a baby need a milah b'yom hashmini? Only when the mother has regular tumas leida, which of course involves having 7 days of tumah for a boy, followed by 33 days of tara, and the 7 days are associated with the eighth day being the day of the bris as well. That's what the Gemara Nida says. Why is it that the baby is nima l'shmona? Because so the Gemara says that we don't want at a bris mila that everyone else is going to be happy, and the mother and the father, because they're still asurim to each other, that they should be sad. So we want to wait till they're happy. So you wait till after 7 days of Yumei Tumah, and then you have 33 days of Yumei Tara. So on the eighth day, it's already in the Yumei Tara, and therefore you do the Bris Milah on the eighth day. But that's just Shimon Taimi Dekra. That's just explaining what the Svara is for the Din D'Oraisa. But it's a Din D'Oraisa that B'yom HaShmini Yom B'Sar Laso, only when there is Tumas Leda. Amr Le Abaye, Doris Horishonim Yochichus. Abaye says, no, I'm not convinced. Look at the earlier generations. What earlier generations? Says Rashi, Me Avram Ad Matan Torah, Shenit Nemila V'lona Gutuma. From the days of Avram Avinu all the way until Matan Torah, says the Gemara, She'ini Motmea Leida, V'nima L'shmona. There was no Tumas Leida because there was no Torah, and yet we still did a Bris Mila on the eighth day from the days of Avram Avinu. So how can you tell me that it relates, that one relates to the other, that Tumas Leida and Mila L'shmona have anything to do with each other? It's a little strange that Rashi gives the example of Avram Avinu, that sounds like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that they didn't have Tumas Leida. The Gemara says in a couple of places in Kiddushin and Yuma that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. So Meichi Tesi that he didn't observe Tumas Leida. If Sarah had a baby, so he probably observed Tumas Leida also. I had to assume that there was no Tumas Leida for Sarah. And furthermore, it's Beferish in the Gemara. The Gemara B'Metzia Daf Pei Zayin, and it's quoted in Rashi and Chumash and Parshas Vayera, V'lechem Lohevi, that he didn't bring bread. Why? Because Pirsa Sarah Nida, that Sarah became a Nida. So Avram was always makbid to ochel b'tara. So if he was makbid on Nida, on Tumas Nida, what, he wasn't makbid on Tumas Leda? Why would he be makbid on Tumas Nida and not Tumas Leda? Right? He was ochel b'tara for Tumas Nida, but not for Tumas Leda? Very, very unlikely. So why would Rashi give this example of Avram Avinu? Just say Doros HaRishonim, that people before Matan Torah, but Avram Avinu is a strange example to give. So you have to say that the Iker Kasha is really from the Doros after Avram Avinu. Rashi says Avram Avinu, lav dafka, it means after Avram Avinu. Shar Mitzvah Balacha says also could be that Rashi says v'lo nagu tuma, that's alav deyim shala avos, that it's talking about. Not that Avram wasn't noig tuma himself, but the avodim and the shvachos, they weren't noig tuma, and still Avram Avinu was mekayim bris milu b'shmona on all of his avod, on the children of his avodim shvachos. So that's what it's talking about. But it's not talking about Avram Avinu himself. So anyway, so says Gemara, how can you tell me that the two are connected to each other, that tumas leida and milu l'shmona are connected to each other? You see that before Matan Torah there was no tumas leida, yet people were still being malishmona samalei. So he answered, nit na Torah v'neschad sha'alacha. Very important concept. The Rambam uses this all the time, that once the Torah was given, neschad sha'alacha. That's the Rambam in Chulin Daf Kuf, in the Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rambam writes that, why is it that we're mekayim the mitzvah of Gira Nasha? Why do we observe the mitzvah of Gira Nasha, that we don't need Gira Nasha? Is it because Yaakov Avinu had the fight with the Malach, and therefore we don't need Gira Nasha? Says Rambam, no. It's because we got a mitzvah at Kabbalah HaTorah and Matan Torah that we're not allowed to eat Gira Nasha. So whatever mitzvahs, why is it that we do Mila? Again, not because Avram Avinu got the mitzvah of Mila. We do Mila because that when at Matan Torah we had a mitzvah, we received the mitzvah. Taryag mitzvahs nitnu l'Moshe b'Sinai, the Gemara says. That there were Taryag mitzvahs. What do you mean Taryag? We had a whole bunch before. Yeah, but what's mechayiv us in those mitzvahs is nitna Torah v'nischad shalacha, is the Torah being given. That's something that the Rambam emphasizes in a number of different contexts. So says Gemara, Eini v'yit mar yotzei dofen mishi yesh lo shtei arlos. If let's say you have a yotzei dofen, a cesarean section, or mishi yesh lo shtei arlos, a baby that's born with two arlos. Rav Huna, Rav Chia, Barav, chadam or mechalin of the Shabbos, v'chadam rein mechalin. Machlokas whether mechal Shabbos for the bris milah of such babies, of Yotzi Dovin is Omer Ashtei Arlos. So I'd call him a pligiel l'chalav as Shabbos, avl l'shmon v'adim alinalei. So it sounds like the whole machlokas is whether you machal Shabbos for such a baby. But do you give him a meal l'shmona? Sounds like definitely, yeah, you give him a meal l'shmona. So, haba hatalia. And we said the chil Shabbos is totally in meal l'shmona. Someone who's nima l'shmona is docha Shabbos. Someone who's not nima l'shmona is not docha Shabbos. So you see, even though you have a Yotzi Dovin which does not have to masleida, nevertheless, we're still going to be Michal Shabbos on it because it's still Nima Lashmona. So how can you tell me that any woman who doesn't have Tumas Leida is not Nima Lashmona? So answer the Gemara, Kitanai, whether a Yotzei Dofen were actually Michal Shabbos and is Nima Lashmona is actually Machlokas Tanaim, and we'll get to the Machlokas in a second. It's going to take us for a little while. Just one little Ha'ara before we get to that Machlokas. Someone who has Shtei Arlos, what's the issue for Michal and Shabbos? Meaning, do we make two cuts? Once we do one Maisa Mila, do we make a second cut for a second Maisa Mila on Shabbos? So the Ragachover explains, remember we said before, the three dinim in Bris Mila, the Ragachover explains, what's the machlokas, whether someone has Shnei Orlos, whether you're going to do a Bris Mila, he says the machlokas is, what's Docha Shabbos? Is it a Maisa Mitzvah Mila that's Docha Shabbos, or the Isser Orel that's Docha Shabbos? What if he has two Arlos? So to cut off one Arla, you did your Maisa Mitzvah Mila. But guess what? He's still an Arl because he has another Arla. So if you say that it's a Maisa Mitzvah Mila that's Docha Shabbos, so then you can only cut off one Arla. You can't cut off the other. But if it's that the Isser to be an Arl that's Docha Shabbos, so you're allowed to cut off both. Make sure that he's not an Arl. Someone just sent me an email the other day that they translated on a wine bottle. The wine bottle said, Loch Shashvias Va'Arla. There's another kind of arla. Arla is not always foreskin, right? Loch shashvis va'arla. Arla is the fruits from the first 3 years of a tree, arasur bahana, and they had translated into English. It was an Israeli company. It said, without any concerns of shmita year or foreskins. So you can be safe that the wine is okay. So hopefully it doesn't have it, right? So it says in Gemara, Kitanai. So we have a machlokas. Yesh li yidbayis shenima le'echad. That sometimes you have a slave that's born into your household where the bris could be done right away. You don't have to wait till the eighth day. V'yesh li yidbayis shenima le'shmona. Sometimes a slave born into your household, you have to wait till the eighth day. Yesh miknas kesef. Sometimes there's a slave that you buy shenima le'echad, that you do the bris right away. V'yesh miknas kesef. And sometimes there's a slave that you buy that you do the bris on the eighth day. So let's go through the different permutations. Yesh miknas kesef shnima le'echad. Sometimes you'll buy a slave and the bris will be done right away. V'yesh miknas kesef shnima le'shmona. And sometimes you'll buy an eved and the bris will be done on the eighth day. Ketzad, where do these cases happen? So lakach shivcha mu'uberes v'acharkach yolda. If you buy a pregnant shivcha and then she gives birth, zeu miknas kesef anima le'shmona. That's an example of someone who's purchased where the bris is going to be done on the eighth day. Lachach shivcha uvlada ima zui miknas kesef shnima le'echad. If you buy a shivcha who already has a baby with her, she already has an infant, so then you do the bris right away. V'yeshi lidbayis shnima l'shmona ketzad. Where do we have a baby born into your house where you can do the meal on the eighth day? Lachach shivcha v'nisabra etzlo v'yolda zui lidbayis shnima l'shmona. If you buy a shivcha and after you buy her she becomes pregnant and she gives birth, then you do the bris on the eighth day. So notice the only case we did not give is a case of a yilid bayis shenima le'echad. So hang on to that. We'll get back to that. A yilid bayis shenima le'echad we haven't yet discussed. Rav Chama Omer, but Rav Chama says, interestingly, the Rabbeinu Chananel writes on the bottom of the page over here, four lines from the bottom in my edition, my printing of the Gemara. I don't know if it's different in different printings. Kaimel and dekulu tanoi me'eretz Yisrael inun lefichach karilu hu rabbi. Bar Mitzvah Stuchti. He says all Tanaim are from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they all earn the title Rabbi because they had smicha in Eretz Yisrael, except for three places where we have Tanaim. The Alfagav the Tanayin and Karilu Hu Rav. Three places in Shas where someone's a Tana, and we call them Rav. Rav Abba b'Yisha Shnafel and Nechasim, Rav Abba Nami b'Shlosh Shachlu Keechad. V'Rav Chama b'Hadaduchta. This is one of the examples. Rav Chama over here, it's a Tana, but we call him Rav. So anyway, Rav Chama Omer, Yaldavach Kachit Bila, if a woman gave birth, if the Shivcha gave birth, and then went to the mikvah, Zeh Yilid Bayish Nima Le'echad. That's a case where a baby was born into your household, but you could do the bris right away. Hitbila Vachach Yolda, if she went to the mikvah and then gave birth, So zeh yilid bayis hanima l'shmona. That's yilid bayis where you do the bris milah on the eighth day. V'tanakama l'shon. So according to Rav Chama, Rav Chama came up with cases of yilid bayis both for the first day and the eighth day, depending on when the tevila was. Tanakama, we still don't have that. V'tanakama l'shoni lebein hitvila v'achkach yolda bein yolda v'achkach hitvila. Tanakama doesn't make a doesn't think it matters whether the tevila happened before or after the leida. The afligav de'eni motmei leida nima. Apparently, because Tanakama would hold that even though the mother doesn't have Tumas Leda, the bris is always going to be on the eighth day. If the baby was born into your household, bris is always going to be on the eighth day. So don't you see, that's the machlokas from Chama and the Tanakama. Do we assume that the two are connected? That Tumas Leda and Milu L'Shmona are necessarily connected to each other? So says the Gemara, yeah, but we have a problem with the Tanakama now. There's one of the four cases that Tanakama doesn't have an example of. Bishlam the Rabbi Chama Mishkach so Yilid Bayis Nima Le'echad, Yilid Bayis Nima L'Shmona, Miknas Kesef Nima Le'echad, Miknas Kesef Nima L'Shmona. According to Rav Chama, we have examples of all four possibilities. Yolda Va'achar Kach Hitbila Zer Yilid Bayis Nima Le'echad. If the baby was born and then she went to the mikvah, that's Yilid Bayis where the bris is on the first day. Hitbila Vachach Yalda Zeu Yilid Bayis Nima L'Shmona. If the mother went to the mikvah and then gave birth, that's Yilid Bayis that the bris is done on the eighth day. Miknas Kesef Nima L'Shmona Kigon Shalakach Shivcha Muberes Hitbila Vachach Kach Yalda. A case where you buy a Shivcha and the bris is going to be done on the eighth day is where you buy her while she's pregnant. You matbil her and then she gives birth. Miknas Kesef Nima La'echad, and in the case where you buy her and the bris is going to be on the first day, that one guy buys the shivcha, another guy buys the uber. So you have all four cases solved. El Tanakama, but according to the Tanakama, so you have examples of all of these other cases, but where do you ever have a case of Yilid Bayis that's Nima Le'echad, of a baby born into your household where the bris milah is going to be done on day one? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Belokech Shivcha LeUbra. The case is where you buy a shivcha for the ubra. You only buy the woman. The Gemara is going to have the Gemara. There are only two cases. The Gemara is going to give two cases where Tanakam would hold the Yilid Bayis would get a bris on the first day. So the first one is Lokech Shivcha LeUbra. You only buy the woman for the rights to her fetus. Since the birth is completely different from a regular Jew's birth, there would be no meal on the eighth day because you're only buying for the fetus. It's so different from a regular birth of a regular Jew. So says the Gemara, Hanich leman yamar kinyan peres lav kinyan aguf dami. That works very well if you hold kinyan peres lav kinyan aguf dami, that owning the produce of property is not like owning the property itself, so it's not considered like you own the mother. El man yamar kinyan peres kinyan aguf dami, maikel meymar. But if you hold kinyan peres kinyan aguf dami, then it would be considered when you buy a shivcha li ubra, that's the same thing as owning the mother, and the birth is therefore just like a regular Jewish birth, and the bris should be on the eighth day. So why wouldn't the bris be on the eighth day if you hold kinyan aperos is kinyan aguf dami? So again, we're stuck. Meaning, if they hold this way, then we're stuck again. What's Rav Chama's example of what's the Tanakama's example rather of where we're going to have a yilid bayis that's nima le'echad? So Amar Mesharshia belokeach shivcha al menas shelo lahatbila. Now the other possibility is you buy the mother with the condition that she will not go to the mikvah to become a shivcha kananis. Meaning the tvila that we're talking about is a part of a gerus. But that when she becomes a Shivcha Kananis, she becomes Chayiv in mitzvos, she becomes a partial Jew. She has to go to the Tevila for that. But if you buy her with the possibility, with the condition, with the Tanai built in, that she's not going to go to the mikvah to become a Shivcha, so since her situation is not at all similar to a regular Jewish birth, so Mela, the baby would not get a bris milah on the eighth day, because only when it's something like a normal Jewish birth do you get a bris milah on the eighth day. Now obviously this sugya of Kinyan Peros, Kikinin Aguf Dami is a major shas topic. We're not really going to have time to get into it now. So again, let's just summarize what we just learned. Tanakama holds that the case of Yilid Bayis, a slave born into a Jewish home, where the bris is on the eighth day, is when the mother became pregnant after being purchased, regardless of whether she went to the mikvah before or after the birth, because her tumah has no relevance to the milah that's being done on the eighth day. So that's the shita of Tanakama. Tumah and milah b'lishmona, no connection. Rabbi Chama holds holds that if she hadn't gone to the mikveh before giving birth, she doesn't become tameh, and therefore there's no milah l'shmona, that they are very much connected. Tumah of the mother and milah l'shmona is very much connected. And that's what we mean when we say kitanoi, that this is a machlokas tanoim. What's a machlokas tanoim? Whether there's a connection between the tumah and milah l'shmona. And then the Gemara just spends the rest of the time, like we said, pointing out where is the case that the Tanna Kamma holds that a yilid bayis is going to be nima le'echad, two possibilities, either lokeach shivcha le'ubra or lokeach shivcha al-minas shalolat bila. We'll stop there. We'll pick up tomorrow from the definition of Neifa. Okay.